Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, 16 lines down. In the middle of the line there it says, Katuv Achad Omer, one Pasuk says in Daniel, Levushei Ketlag Chivar, Usear Reshei Ke'amar Nikei. His clothing is white like the snow, and the hairs of his head are like clean or white wool. Uchtiv. And on Shir Shirim it says, Kivutzotav Tautalim Shechorot Keorev, that his locks, the curls of his locks are black like the raven. So which is it? Is the Kodesh Baruch Hu have the black hair and the dark hair, or does he have white hair? Lokasha. Can be Shiva, can be Milchama. Depends what pose he's in, depends what he's acting as at that time. When he's at war, then he is a bachur, he's a young man, so therefore he has the black hair, the dark hair. When he's in the yeshiva, when he's sitting down, and osik b'torah, then he has the white hair. Damar mar. Ein lecha na'eb yeshiva l'zakein. The most appropriate, or the best way to have kavod in terms of yeshiva is the zakein, the one who is older, wiser. Ein lecha na'eb milchama la bachur. And there's no one better in the war than a bachur, a young man. Over here, the Rabbeinu Chananel says something interesting. Rabbeinu Chananel says, Perish, yesh mi she'omer, marot halalu kederach halom nirim. That these visions or images were seen through dreams. Kedichtiv, as the Pasuk says, im yeh nevi'echem Hashem b'mareh elav et vada, b'chalom adaber bo. When I speak to Nevi'im, I speak to them through dreams. And through the hands of Nevi'im, I will appear, but Adameh means that it will be a vision as if. That he appears to them in a picture or a sense that they have a feeling that that's what they're seeing, but it's not necessarily the real vision or the real appearance. Aval, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishtabach Shemo Ein Lo Dmut. He has no form. V'zeh Davar Mochiach She'ein Sham Dmut. And this proves that there is no image. She'ilo Haya Tamid Echad O Dmut Bachur Le'olam O Dmut Zaken Le'olam. Because here we have an anthropomorphism of God. We have him appearing as a young man and as an elderly man. What the Rabbeinu Chananel points out is that he really had a form, or if he really was one of these, then he should be constant as one of these. The fact that he can change between them shows you that he has no real form. What he appears to the Nevi'im is like an image. Whatever he wants them to see, or to be impressed by, or feel. And some suggest that this whole description is not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather a malach, one of the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the Rabbeinu Chananel was trying to deal with is that here we have a strong anthropomorphism of God, a description of him as he being a young man, an old man. What is going on over here? So he says that these are all images, but the images are for the Navi's understanding. The appearance is not the real appearance of God. It is how God is shrouded when he appears to that Navi, or the message he wants to give to that Navi. That's the same way we talk about the Midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem, when we speak about him in Midot, or doing certain actions, it's not that that is Hashem. It's just the way that Hashem is interacting with us, or interacting with the world at that time, that's the image that is being portrayed. And the same thing over here. When God is, quote-unquote, at war, at Milchama, then he appears as a Bachur. That doesn't mean that his image or his demut is a bachur. Rather, that's, at that time, his interactions make it seem like his appearance or his image is in that manner. That's what the Rabbeinu Chananel is describing over here, obviously trying to deal with the Gemara's rating of psukim being very literal rather than more figurative. And he's saying, no, it's not really literal. It's still figurative. Now, the Gemara continues, Katuv Echad Omer. The Pasuk in Daniel says, Karasei Shvivin Dinur. His throne is of fiery flames. And the It's in the same pasuk. It just happens to be two ends of the pasuk. It also says, Adi Karsavan Remiv Va'atik Yomim Yitiv. It says, until the thrones, in plural, are set up, and the one of ancient days sits upon it. So the Gemara's question here is, that once in the pasuk it says, Karsa'e, which is one throne, and then we have the letter of the pasuk says, Kar Savan, which indicates that there are two thrones. So it says, Lokasha Echado Vechad Le David. One is for him, and one is for David HaMelech. Kedetanya, Echado Vechad Le David, Divei Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Akiva, Ad Matai Ata Usesh Shechinacho. What are you doing? You're, in a sense, profaning the Holy One, the Shechinah, by putting the Shechinah and David HaMelech on the same level, having each thrones next to each other, then you're really profaning God's throne. Ela Echad Din VeEchad Tzedaka. Again, apropos for the time here. One of them is the Kisei of Judgment, a Kisei of Din, of harsh judgment. VeEchad Tzedaka. And the other one is the Kisei HaRachamim. So that's what we say. We say that when we blow the shofar, we're asking Hashem to move from the Kisei HaDin to the Kisei HaRachamim. Again, these are in figurative senses. Hashem doesn't have two thrones, doesn't move, but again, in art, the imagery that we're portraying is for us to understand God's interaction with us, whether it's with Midat Adin, whether it's Midat Arachamim. So we portray it as a king moving from one throne to the other throne. Kibla Mimine, Olo Kibla Mimine. Did Rabbi Akiva accept this explanation? Tashma, Echad Adin Vechad Tztaka, Devi Rabbi Akiva. So it does, he did accept it, because now we see him interpreting it like the version that was given to him, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Amalo Rabbi Lazar ben Azari Akiva, Malacha Itzel Agada. Says, what are you doing in Agadata? Klach, Midabrutecha, Itzel Negaim Ve'olot. Take your stuff back to these deep halachic issues. You're a halacha man. You're a person who knows halacha well. You know the depths of halacha, the hardest parts of halacha. Stay over there. Your world is not the world of Agadata. Why are you bringing down or interpreting things in an agadic manner? El Echad the Kisei, Vechad the Shrafraf. One of them is the throne, and one of them is the footstool. Kisei the Shevalaf, the throne to sit upon, Shrafraf la Dom Raglaf, and the footstool to as his footrest. Shenemar, Shemaim Kisei, the heavens are my throne, Va'aretz Adom Raglai, and the earth is my footstool. Skiata Rav Dimi, Amar, Shmonesre Kilalot Kilel Yishaya et Israel. There were 18 curses that Yishaya gave towards Klal Yisrael. And he wasn't placated until he reached this pasuk. Again, these are psukim in Perek Gimel in a row. Psukim there, and says, Iravu anar bezakein. The young man will act proudly, domineering towards the elderly. Vanikle benichbad, and the base one will dominate or domineer over the one that is of more stature. Shmonasre kololot mayninu. What are the 18 curses? Tichtiv. Because it says, Ki inei Adon Hashem tzvakot mesir miYushalayim miYuda. That Hashem is going to remove from Yushalayim and Yuda. This is meaning that he's going to take these people out. Who are the people that he's going to remove? He's going to remove Mash'ein u'mash'ena. One who is leaned upon, a male, and a mash'ena, a woman who is leaned upon. Kol mish'an lechem. Any one that relies on the bread, meaning that someone who is supportive of the bread, v'chol mishan mayim, and things that are supportive of the water, gibor, the mighty one, v'ish milchama, warriors, shofet, the judge, v'navi, the prophet, v'koseim, we don't know what that means, the Gemara will discuss what it means, koseim, v'zakein, and the elderly, sar chamishim, this should be familiar, we saw this pasuk yesterday, the officer of 50, Unisupanim, person of stature, an honorable man. Vioates, a consultant, or one who gives advice. Vechacham Charashim. Yesterday we read it. The Chacham Charashim is like the teacher of the wise, or the one who is cunning, explainer of things. But here the Gemara splits them into two, and says Chacham is one, the wise man, and then Charashim is a second one. Unavon Lachash. Again, yesterday we counted them as one issue. Unavon Lachash, which is someone who is either a eloquent orator or a comprehender of the mysteries. Over here, they're separating them up and saying Navon meaning someone with understanding, and Nachash is someone, again, either somebody who knows how to be Lochesh, understands all the incantations, or Lachash can mean somebody who's an orator. So, V'natati na'arim sarihim. And I will make the youngsters their ministers, their leaders. V'ta'alulim yamshirubam. And the young babes, or the mockers, I will place over them, have the rule over them. So now, the Gemara goes through each of these, explains what these individuals are. Mash'ein. That the one that you lean upon, the one who is supportive, elu balei mikra. These are those that learn Torah. Mashena, elu balei mishnah. Those are the ones that learn mishnah. Kigon, Biuda ben Tema, v'chaveirav. Like Biuda ben Tema and his friends, pligi bar rapapa rabbonon, chadama shesh meot sidrei mishnah, chadama sheva meot sidrei mishnah. That Biuda ben Tema and his friends, that's the amount of mishnayot that they were osaken. They were talking about 600, 700 sdarim worth of mishnayot. So not a small amount. That's what we mean, balei mishnah. Kol mishan lechem, elu balei talmud. All those that are supportive of the bread, those are the people who are teaching talmud, meaning the gemara. Shenemar, luchu lachmu v'lachmi, ushtu yein masechti. So here you see that, lachmu v'lachmi, right, that you should come and eat my bread, ushtu, b'yein masechti, and drink from the wine that I've mixed for you of masechti. Over here, they're playing a masechti, masechet. B'chol mish'an ma'im, elu balei agadah. Shemoshchim libo shel adam kema'im, b'agadah. Because the agadah draws a person's heart in like water. Meaning that it is compelling to listen to, and that's why it's compared to the ma'im. Gibor, zibal shmuot. This is one who has the halachot psukot from his rebbeim, and he knows them well, shkurot b'fiv. V'ish milchama, a warrior, zesh yodeh lisav liten v'milchamta shel Torah. This is someone who knows to give and take in the battle of Torah. I mean, this is a person who can argue the sugyot. Shofet, zedayan, shedan din emet lamito. Shofet is a judge who adjudicates cases to their proper conclusion. Navi, kimashmao, Navi is literally means Navi. Kosem, zemelech. So instead of being kosem, meaning someone who is a sorcerer, here kosem is a king, shenemar, because it says, kesem al siftei melech. There is charm on the lips of the king, but you see the word kosem associated with the melech. Zakein, zesh ra'uy l'yeshiva. Zakein is someone who's ra'uy l'yeshiva. Here means that yeah, he's in the yeshiva, but he's someone who's at the, you know, the front row of the yeshiva, someone as a teacher, someone who you would go to for learning. Sar Chamishim, al tikri Sar Chamishim. Don't call him a minister or an officer of 50. Ela, whether it means here, Sar Chumashin or Shar Chumashim, ze sheyodei alisav liten b'chamisha chumashay Torah. This is someone who knows how to give and take, explain the Torah, the chamisha chumashay Torah, whether it means he knows how to sing or he's a master. A minister over the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but he's able to give Perush to the Torah. Davar Acher, Sar Chamishim, Kedi Rabbi Abau, the Amar Rabbi Abau, Mikan Shein Mamidim, Miturgaman Al Tzibor, Pachot Mechamishim Shana. From here you know that you're not allowed to put up someone who's going to be, again, the loudspeaker, the conveyor of the Torah from the Talmud Chacham. He has to be at least a minimum of 50 years old, because it's not respectful for the Tzibor to appoint someone of younger age. Unisoponim, and an honorable individual, zeshinosim panim lidoro ba'avuro. This is someone where they give favor to his generation on his behalf. So now what's the case? The malo, up in Shemayim, where who's someone who can change the verdicts in Shemayim on behalf of his generation? Kigon Rav Chanina ben Dosa. Chanina ben Dosa, we saw in the Gemara and Tanit, all the miracles that he performs, he's a, Tosafot calls him a bal maaseh. And that's why he is picked over here, because he was a Baal Masim Yoter Mikol Doro. In his generation, there was no one like him. Probably in many generations, there was no one like him. Lamato, down on earth, someone who can plead on behalf of the Jews and help them with the governmental issues. Gon Rabbi Abahu Bei Kezar. Rabbi Abahu, who had an inn in the Caesar's palace, he was able to go ahead and beseech on behalf of Bnei Israel, get decrees overturned, helped them, and he was well respected in Rome. They used to come out to greet him. He was a person of stature even within the governmental ranks. Tosafot over here points out that obviously Rabbi Abel was also Choshev Lamalo. He wasn't only Choshev Lamato, but just in his generation, there were many other Balei Masim, or people of great stature who were Choshev Lamalo. Therefore, he didn't stand out as being someone who was Choshev Lamalo, but as terms of Lamato, he stood out. And that's what he said before about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Why does he stand out? Because he stands out amongst all those in his generation, Lamalo. And that's why they brought each of those individuals as examples, as standouts in these particular areas. Someone who's an advisor, a consultant, is someone who knows to circulate the calendar and to set the months, chaser, malay, all those things. Chacham is a student who makes his teachers wiser. Charashim. When he starts to be doresh, everyone else is silenced. Navon, zemevin davar mitoch davar. Navon is someone who has understanding, can learn one thing from the next. Lachash, zesh ra'oi limsor lo divrei Torah shnitna belachash. This is someone who is ra'oi to give over the secrets of Torah that were given quietly. He is ra'oi to receive those secret parts of the Torah. Natati ni'arim sarehem. And I will make the youngsters their rulers or their ministers. These are people who are empty of mitzvot. That's why they're called ne'arim. As opposed to those that are meleim mitzvot karimon, which is usually the character trait of klali. So here, these are people empty of mitzvot. V'ta'alulim im shalubam. And the young babes or the mockers will rule over them, lord over them. Rashi over here says, talulim are the young foxes. Amarav, here it seems to be exchanged to Amarav Acha Bar Yaakov, tale bnei tale. These are the foxes or the young foxes. So I mean, these are cunning individuals who are very young. Those are the types of individuals who are going to be placed over you. So these are all negatives. In that you're going to lose all your quality people. That's what's going to be removed from Yerushalayim. And what's going to be left is low quality or terrible individuals who are going to be the ones who end up ruling over you. He wasn't calmed or placated until he finally said that the na'ar will dominate over, or domineer over the zakein. Those people that are empty of mitzvot, yirhavu, they will domineer over those that are filled in mitzvot karimon, meaning the zakein. And the one who is base or debased will do that to the honorable one. Comes the one who terrible, grievous sins are like to him, like simple sins. He doesn't differentiate. Viravu. And again, he will dominate or rule over Misha Kalot, Domot Alav Kuchamurot. The one who, even little sins to him are like great sins. So it's the opposite. Someone who doesn't care about sinning will rule over the one who does care about sinning. So Amar of Katina, Amfilu Bishat Kishlona Shal Yerushalayim Lo Pasku Mehem Balei Amana. Even at the time when Yerushalayim was being destroyed, ruined, it's being tripped up in a sense, Lo paskumem balei amana. The honesty was still a trait, or honest people were still found inside of Yerushalayim. Shneamar, because it says there again. This is in the same parak in Yeshayahu. Says ki pos ish v'achiv beit aviv. Person will grab an individual from his father's house. Simlalecha katzinti elanu. You have a cloak. You have a shirt. You'll be a benefactor to us, or you'll be a ruler over us. Things that people cover up under their garment, you have in your hand. So what does that mean that they are covering it up? Rashi says, these are people who hide because they don't know the halacha. So they're hiding from people because they don't want to be asked questions. If they ask questions, they don't know what to answer. So things that they don't know what to answer, you have. I mean, basically what they're implying is that you know some Torah, you're going to be our leader. V'amachshela hazot. And this stumbling block, v'amaya machshela zot, dvarim she'ein b'nei adam umdim aleihem ilim gein yichshal ben, things that people don't really understand unless they've tripped up, they've had problems with them, meaning they've had experience with this. V'ishnan tachad yadecha, you have under your hand, meaning that you have items where people only learn from their mistakes. And as Rashi points out again, that's a Talmud who listens and doesn't know his Shmua so clearly, so he messes it up once, twice, then he really gets it down pat because he's learned his lesson that he really needs to know it. So you have Torah and you have the Shmuot, so you should be a leader over us. Isaba Yomahule Mor, he'll take a Shvua on that day saying, Lo Yechuvesh, I will not be a patron. Ubebeiti ein lechem, in my house I have no food, no bread. Ein simla, I have no clothing. Lo tisimuni kitzin, do not make me an officer of the people, a leader, a benefactor of the people. Gemara says, Isa ini isai la lashon shvua. Isa is a lashon of taking an oath, swearing, shenamar. Lo tisa et shem Hashem Elokecha lashav. So you see the word tisa is used in the context of taking a shvua. Lo yechuvesh. Lo hayti michuvshei beit hamidrash. I wasn't of those that locked themselves up in the beit midrash. I was not a person who learnt. Ubeiti ein lechem ein simla. In my house, I have no bread, no food, and no clothing. Shem biyadi lo mikra v'lo mishna. I don't know Torah. I don't know mishnayot. V'lo gemara, and I don't know gemara either. So the gemara says here, that's the proof that people were honest. Here's an individual, they want to make him a ruler over them. They say, you know some Torah, you know this. So they say, you'll be our leader. And the person's honest and says, I don't know the Torah. I don't know anything. You can't make me a leader over you. So you see that honesty still remained inside of Yerushalayim. There were people who were honest. It says, V'dilma shani otam, di'amar lehu gamirna, because if he lied and said, I did learn, amilei, emelan, they'll ask him questions. They'll ask him to give a drasha. And he won't know what to say. He won't know what to answer. So avalei meimar, gamar v'shochach. No, you just say, yeah, I learned, but I forgot it. I don't remember that halacha. I don't remember that. So the Gemara says, Ma lo yechuvesh klal. What does it mean that I will not be chuvesh? It means I was not chuvesh at all. Any ragiliot, I wasn't there in the Beit Midrash. Not that I wasn't there sometimes. I wasn't in the Beit Midrash whatsoever. I have no Torah whatsoever. So here you see this honesty that nobody's trying to fool anybody. So that's a big maila that they were honest. So Gemara says, Ini, is that really true that there were Bali Amana inside of Yerushalayim? V'amarova lo chorva Yerushalayim v'chapasku v'meno Bali Amana. Yerushalayim was only destroyed when honesty left the city, when there were no longer any people who were faithful. Shenamar, shotutu b'chutzot Yerushalayim. Here it means to walk about, but it really means float about the areas of Yerushalayim. Ru'una, take a look. Udu'u. And figure out, ubakshu, and search, birchovotah, and its streets, im timtzuish, im yesh osem mishpat mivakesh emuna. If you find any individual who does justly or acts justly, mivakesh emuna, wants to be faithful, truthful, veslachlo, and I will forgive you, Yerushalayim. And as long as they're balei emuna, they're people who are honest and truthful inside of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim will survive. As soon as you can't find anybody in there, I will no longer forgive Yerushalayim, or Yerushalayim will be destroyed. It sounds like from here that there weren't Bali Amana in Yerushalayim, that's why it was destroyed. It says, Lokasho, that's not a question. Ha b'divrei Torah, ha b'masal matan. Depends what you're speaking about. When it comes to divrei Torah, there were Bali Amana. People were honest. They didn't know Torah. So when it came to the question, do you know Torah or not know Torah? They were honest. They said, I don't know anything. Ha b'masal matan. In business dealings, then they couldn't find anybody honest. They couldn't find a straight fellow inside of Yerushalayim. People were cheating each other. People were not acting appropriately. So, v'divrei Torah havu. So therefore, there were balei amana with regards to divrei Torah, v'masa matan lo havu. But in terms of business dealings, there was not a single honest individual inside of Yerushalayim. Again, a phenomenon that is still prevalent till today, that people many times are stark in their ben adam l'makom, and that can be in both directions. That means that they are very learned, or they may not be learned at all. But when it comes to Masa Matan, it's as if nothing matters. They act any way they want. They do whatever they want. Their Ben Amadam, the Chavero, is severely lacking. And that's what the Navi Yishayahu, here it's Perek Gimel in Yishayahu, but the first Perek in Yishayahu is very clear that the problem in Yerushalayim was that they were doing fine with their Ben Adam the Makom. Their problem was Ben Adam the Chavero, that they weren't treating each other properly. And that's really what we need to focus on, even today, is the Ben Adam Nechaviro, to improve that side, because it's really the key element of what the Navi tells us and what Hashem wants from us, is to act properly towards each other. Teren Benan, Maseh B'Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Shei Rochev Al Chamor. He was riding along in a donkey, Vayar Melech B'Derech, and they were traveling, Rabbi Lazar Ben Arach, Mechamer Acharav. Rabbi Lazar Ben Arach was driving the donkey from behind him. Amalo Rebbe, Shanali Perak Echad B'Maseh Merkava. Teach me something from the Maseh Merkava. Amarlo, Lokach Shaniti Lachem, didn't I already teach you? V'lo B'Merkava B'Yachid? Isn't that what the Mishnah says? Mishnah says you're not even allowed to teach the Merkavah, even to an individual. Elim Ken Ayah Chacham, Evin Midato, unless he's a Chacham and understands on his own. Amarlo, Rebbe, Tarsheni Lomar Lefenecha Devar Echad. Says, give me permission to say something to you. Shilam Damtani, something that you taught me. Amarlo, Emor. He says, go ahead and stay. Miyad, Yerad Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Mi'alach Amor. Yochanan Ben Zakkai hops off his donkey, Vinita Teif, wraps himself up, V'yashav ala Evan, Tachar HaZayit, he sits on a stone under the olive tree. Amarlo, Rebbe, Mipnei Ma Yerad Tamalach Amor. So Rabbi Elazar Ben Rav says, and why'd you dismount? Amar, Efshar, Ata Doresh B'Maseh Merkava, U'Shechina Imanu, you're going to be Doresh now in the Maseh Merkava, the Shechina is going to join us over here. U'malachei Asherit Malavim Iltanu, and the angels are going to accompany us. Vanir Kava Chamor, I'm going to be riding on a donkey, it'd be inappropriate. I have to get myself in the right state of mind, in the right frame of mind. I've got to be appropriately dressed, and I have to be appropriately ready for what's about to happen. Miyad Patach Rabbi Elazar Ben Arach. So then Rabbi Elazar Ben Arach begins to be Doresh. B'Maseh Merkava, V'Darash V'Yarda Esh Min HaShamayim, as he's Doresh, then a fire descends from heaven. V'Sivavah Kol HaLeilonot Shebasadeh, surrounded all the trees in the field. Patchu Kulan V'Amru Shira, and all of them began to sing Shira, praise to Hashem. Ma Shira Amru, what was the Shira they said? Halu et Hashem min haaretz, praise Hashem from those that are on the earth. Taninim, the great sea monsters, V'chol Te'amot, and all the depths, Eitz Pri, the fruit trees, V'chol Arazim, and all the cedars, Haleluka, they should all praise Hashem. Ne'ne'a Malach min ha'esh V'amar, and then the malach, the angel of the fire, or in the fire, responds, Amar, hein, hein, Maseh Merkava, like a stamp of approval. This is the Maseh Merkava, what you did. Mad Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, min ashko al rosho, got up and he kissed him on his head, Amar, Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Shenatan ben Avraham Avinu, blessed be Hashem, the God of Israel, that gave Avraham a son like you, Sheodeh la'avin, v'lachkor v'lidrosh v'maseh Merkava, who knows, understands, can plumb the depths of, seek, and understand Maseh HaMerkava. Yesh na'ed doresh ve'ein ha'emekayim. There's some people who know how to be, give a great drasha, or understand the halacha, ve'ein ha'emekayim, but their behavior does not reflect that. Na'emekayim, sometimes people behave well, and they know the halacha, they know what to do, ve'ein ha'ed doresh, but they don't know how to be doresh, they don't really know the Torah. Ta'ne'ed doresh ve'ein ha'emekayim. You are, you're a shot, and your understanding of the Torah is beautiful, but also name a kayim. You also know how to keep the Torah. Your behavior reflects that which you have learned. Ashrecha Avram Avinu. Lucky are you, Avram Avinu, Shelazar ben Arach yetzah mechaletzecha. That Elazar ben Arach issued forth from you. So this is very interesting about Elazar ben Arach. We know from the Mishnah Avot, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has five Talmidim. One of those Talmidim is Elazar ben Arach. There, he asks them a question, and they all respond, and then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that I see the words of Elazar ben Arach, because everything you've said is now encompassed in what he said. That was Lev Tov and Lev Ra. That's what he responds there. Before that, they say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said that if all the Chachamim were on one side of the scale, and Elazar ben Hurkunus was on the other side, he would weigh them down. B'yesh Omrim, that's even if Elazar ben Arachus was with all the other Chachamim, Elazar ben Arachus was on the other side, he would outweigh all of them. So that's how great this Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was, the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shenamru Devarim Lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. When Rabbi Yeshua heard about this story, Hayahuv Rabbi Yossi HaKohen Ma'achim Bederech. He and Rabbi Yossi HaKohen were going on the way. Those are two more of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Talmidim that are mentioned in Mishnah Avot. The five Talmidim that are mentioned there are Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkunus, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Shimon HaChassid. So here you have three of his Talmidim being mentioned. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, we just saw the story. And now Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Malchim HaDerech Amru Af Anu Nidrosh B'Maseh Merkava. Well, if he did it, let us do it too. Patach Rabbi Yeshua b'darash. Then Rabbi Yeshua began to be Doresh. Boto yom tkuvat tamuzaya. It was the summer solstice. Nitkashu shemayim ba'avim. And the sky filled with clouds. Obviously in Eretz Yisrael where there are no clouds during the summer solstice. V'nira kamin keshet banan. And they saw like a rainbow in the clouds. V'ayu malachei asheret mitkabsinu v'ayim lishmoa. So all the malachim came to hear and to see what was going on. Just like people come around or gather around the chatan and kala. Now mazmutei, Tosafot translates as besimchat, chatan v'kala. Rashi says that it's the shtick that they do before the chatan and kala. All the performances that are done before the chatan and kala, everybody gathers around to see them do these performances. The same thing over here. They're speaking Maaseh Kerevah. All the Malachim show up to see it. Halach Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, V'siper Dvarim Lifnei Rabban Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Then Rabbi Yossi HaKohen goes and repeats them to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. V'amar Ashreichem V'ashrei Yoladatchem. Lucky, praise be you, or lucky are you, and your lucky is your birth. Ashrei Einai Shikach Ra'u. And lucky are my eyes that I saw such a thing. Meaning that he's seeing his Talmidim being Doresh in Maaseh Merkava in this way. Va'afani v'atem b'chalumi. And I saw in a dream myself and you. Misubim. We were lying down, meaning going to eat. Hainu al Har Sinai. Vayi Har Sinai v'nitna aleinu batko. And a heavenly voice appears min ha-shamayim. Alu lekan, ascend here, ascend here. Shrakin gidolin u'mitza'ot na'ot mutza'ot achem. They're great palaces, mansions for you. And wonderful beds or linens that are set out for you. Atem v'tamidichem v'tamidei tamidichem. You, your students, and your students, mizumamim l'klat shlishit, are invited into the third grouping of malachim. The third grouping of malachim that sing shira before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the third level or third cut that's sitting before Hashem. I don't know if that's a negative or that's a positive. It's not clear here what this cut shlishit, the significance of this cut shlishit is. It says, "Ini, is that really true?" Ba'atanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shlosha Hartzaot Hein. There are three people who gave discourses. Rabbi Yoshua Yertza Dvarim Lifnei Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yoshua presented before Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Akiva Yertza Lifnei Rabbi Yoshua. And Rabbi Akiva did this before Rabbi Yoshua. Hananya Ben Hachinai Yertza Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. And Hananya Ben Hachinai presented it before Rabbi Akiva. What they're talking about here is the drashot of the Maaseh Merkava. So here it says that Rabbi Yeshua is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, who we just saw here, was talking with Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, goes and presents before Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai the Maaseh HaMerkava. Rabbi Akiva, who's a Talmud of two of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Rabbi Akiva is a Talmud of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Akiva does this in front of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva presents or says over, explains the Maaseh HaMerkava in front of Rabbi Yeshua. And then, Hananya ben Hachinai, who's a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, did it in front of Rabbi Akiva. So over here, you have a list of individuals who were Marza, who gave over or spoke about the Maaseh HaMerkava successfully. But, Ilu Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, lo kol choshiv. They don't mention Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. So his answer is, the Arze ve'artzu kamei kachoshiv. That they counted people who spoke over the Maaseh HaMerkava, but also were spoken to about the Maaseh HaMerkava. The artsay below artsu kamei, someone who said it but was not, had a student say in front of him, lo kachoshiv, they did not count. Marseyaz, v'achananya ben chachinai, dulo artsu kamei, v'kachoshiv. What about Hananya ben chachinai, who didn't have anybody who said it in front of him? So he says, the artsay mi o kamei, man da artsay. But he said it in front of someone else who did say it. I'm explaining it here according to Rashi. Basically what Rashi is saying, or what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, the list here that is being enumerated is someone who said over the din of Maaseh HaMerkava, or the explanation of Maaseh HaMerkava, but his student also said it to him. So in the case of, let's say, Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua said it before Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, and his student, Rabbi Akiva, said it before him. So Rabbi Yoshua was both a presenter and a receiver. Same thing with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva presents it before Rabbi Yoshua, and his student, Hananya ben Hachinai, presents it to him. But the Gemara wants to know now, but they also enumerated Hananya ben Hachinai, who only presented to Rabbi Akiva. We don't find anywhere in Shas that anyone presented to him. So Rashi's answer is, well, he's in a chain. He's part of the chain because he made Rabbi Akiva into one who had a student who spoke to him. who then spoke before someone else, his Rebbe, so therefore he's part of the chain because he facilitated Rabbi Akiva's being someone who has that status. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot does not like that explanation. He says, it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara gave a qualification, which is, Daratse v'artzu kameh. And why does he fit into that category? Okay, Nira l'ri, k'moshe perish b'sefer yashar. So the Ri says that he thinks it's the proper explanation here is like the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation, the Sefer Yashar, which is, Daratse v'artzu kameh k'choshi v'otanshi itzlichu kolkach d'artzot b'pnei rabam halchi. That they were so successful, they were able to present before the Rebbeim. Rabbi Yeshua b'fnei Rabbo Rabbi Yochanan Mitzaka. Rabbi Yeshua did it before his Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Akiva b'fanav Rabbi Akiva in front of Yeshua. And then Rabbi Hananiah b'fnei Rabbi Akiva. B'chashiv shlosha arzot shalchu b'inyan zeh. And he lists these three items. La'fuke Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. Shalo hirtzu b'fanav. That nobody presented in front of him. Fafil hirtza. Lo hirtza mikamei manda arze. So this, the point is that Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was different. Because Rabbi Lazar ben Arach did not present to someone who had also presented to his Rebbe. That's how he explains it. So he presented before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but not before someone who also presented to his Rebbe, and that's why he's not enumerated in the list over here. It's also interesting is the Gemara in Shabbat and Kuf Mem Zayin. Gemara in Shabbat, Kuf Mem Zayin says, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach went off the derech, that he got caught up in the good basar and the good wine. According to the Gemara there, he might have also been Rabbi Norai, that he was synonymous with Rabbi Norai, and then he discusses over there that his wife says, let's go live in this beautiful place with all these great things. And he says, what about the Torah? She says, you're a big Talmud Chacham. You're a superstar. They'll come after you. But then nobody comes. And he goes off by himself. And then the Gemara tells a story that he came back and got an Aliyah and Shul. And they were reading a Chodesh Zedachem. And instead he reads, HaCharash HaYalibam. He reads it wrong, totally incorrectly. But also reflecting on himself, that he had gone from being someone who was a great person to a harash, someone who had nothing, no longer could say anything, had no Torah. So in contrast to that, here you have a story about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, or the greatness of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, and his presenting before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Over there you have the downfall of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Question if this Gemara is beforehand, and then he still had the downfall later, or that they argue about the fate of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, and what exactly happened to Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Tan Rabbanan arba'a nichnasu b'pardes. Four people entered into the pardes, the orchard, as Tosfot says, it's not exactly a pardes. Kigon ayudei shem, they did this through the shem Hashem. Velo alu l'malo mamash, they didn't really go up to the heavens, literally. Elo ayah nira lehem kamo shalu, but they had these images, or this sensation of going up to the heavens. So again, this idea that none of this is real, this is all portrayals of images that they sensed or felt, which is a way to express what they had experienced. So these four people went into the Pardes, got involved in these secrets of the Torah, the Sodota Torah, Sitrei Torah. Veluhein, Ben Azai, Ben Zuma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Lehem Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, who seems to be the more experienced of those there, the elder of the amongst them. Kishatem Magim Eitzel Avnei Shayish Tohor. When you get to the pure, clear marble, Out omru ma'im ma'im. Don't say water, water. Mishum shenamar, because it says, Dover shkarim lo yikon neged einai. Hashem does not accept liars or people do not speak the truth in front of him. So if you say about the marble, water, water, which isn't true, they're going to throw you out of here. It's also a principle that we have in general, like in Shmon Esrei, or when we're involved in certain things that are considered to be standing before Kodesh Baruch Hu, we don't want to lie. We don't want to say any untruths. The Gemara talks about in Bava Batra when you bring up the Bikurim. You have to tell the truth when you bring up the Bikurim, and therefore you can't even say something that is slightly off, because you're coming to the Mikdash and presenting before God. You have to speak properly. You have to speak literally, and you can't even be slightly off. And you can't say that my land, if you don't own land, you can't say of my forefathers, if you're a Gerim, you don't have forefathers. I mean that you have to be absolutely honest, and that's true in Shmon Esrei, it's true in anything where we consider to be presenting or standing before Hashem directly. So that's because Dover Shkarim lo yikon neged einai. The meaning of this mayim mayim is not clear. Usually water is a reference to Torah. So obviously over here that cannot be the case, because over here he's saying don't say mayim mayim. But it might be that here mayim is viewed as a separator or a divider. That's something like a moat. That mayim mayim means that there's a moat around a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's one possibility. Or mayim mayim means that the two waters, the waters of above and the waters of below. And what they're indicating over here, or what the implications of saying mayim mayim is, that Hashem's dominion is only on the heavens and not on the arets and not on the land below. So that's the risk of saying mayim mayim, is that as if you are saying that Hashem has no control over the world below, He only controls that which is above. Ben Azai heitzitz v'meit. Ben Azai peaked and died. Alav akatuv omer, the pasuk says, Yikar b'inei Hashem amavetal lechasidav. They're precious in the eyes of Hashem, those of His chasidim, those of His righteous ones that He has to kill. As Rashi points out, he was a young man, and he had to die because he saw the Shekhinah. Once you see the Shekhinah, you have no choice. But he sought to take him in his youth, and therefore he was upset about it. Ben Zoma yitzitz v'nifga. Ben Zoma took a peek, and he was injured. V'alav ha-ketuv omer, dvash matzata echol dayecha. You found honey. Eat properly, meaning eat the proper amount. Don't overeat. Pentis ba'enum, because if you eat too much and you stuff yourself with it, v'hakiato, and then you end up throwing it back up. I mean that if you eat too much, it's going to be bad. Honey, which is a wonderful, sweet, and yummy thing, if you have the proper amount in proper portions, then everything will be great. If you eat too much of it, you'll end up throwing it up, and it'll be a waste of the whole thing. So it's over here. Ben Zoma got there, but he took a little too much. He took too much, and therefore he was nifga. What it means exactly that he was nifga sounds like that he might have lost his mind. He might have been unable to keep things together. As Rashi says, nitrifa dato. Obviously, he didn't look like Ben Zoma, but he also got confused, or he lost his mind from what he did see or what he experienced up there. Acher, kitzeitz v'nitiyot. Acher basically leaves the fold or leaves the path. This is the famous stories about Acher, that Acher was a Talmud Chacham. He's one of the leading Tanaim. And then he goes off the derech because of what he saw up in the Pardes. Whatever he saw obviously caused him a problem. We're not sure what he saw. Here we don't say kitzetz v'nitiyot, means he cut off the saplings, means that he undermined Hashem. He was kofer b'Hashem. Again, it could be along the lines of mayim mayim, which is that he saw that Hashem was only in the heavens and not down on earth. That might be what it means, he's kofer. Or it could mean that he saw things that bothered him. He couldn't reconcile right with his reality, whether it's tzadik v'ralo, Shabbatovlo, whatever it is that he saw that were irreconcilable with his experience or his life experience, that caused him to leave the faith. And we have the stories of him and Rabbi Meir found in other places in Shas. Rabbi Kiva yetzah b'shalom. Rabbi Kiva exits okay, unscathed. So Rabbi Kiva is the only one to survive coming out of the Pardes. Shalom ben Zoma ma'ulis rusei kalbo. And also now we jump over and they start asking halachic questions about ben Zoma. So here, there's no real clear connection between what we saw before. What is the din in terms of castrating a dog? Why do they ask him about castrating a dog? Because the dog is the animal that the Torah puts on the lowest of the ladder, because you can't use a korban, an animal for a korban that was exchanged for a dog. That's the dog is put on that, like on the scale of animals, is way down below. So what's that? Can you castrate it? Amar lahem, ubar tzecha lo tasu. It says that you may not do this in your land. Anything that's in your land, you may not do this too. The beginning of the pasuk is talking about the mumim in a korban. The mumim in a korban there, it says, katut, fikarut. It talks about korban or a mum of an individual who cannot reproduce. So here it says, at the end of the pasuk, v'artzachem lo tasu, you may not do this. I mean that the simple pshat is that you may not bring these as korbanot, but it also means you may not create these types of mumim in your land. And that's what he says. Kosh v'ratzachem lo tasu. Anything that lives in your land, any animal that's found there, any living being that's there, you may not castrate. Shalua ben Zoma betula shi bra mahu. A woman who is a betula, virgin, and became impregnated, ma'ulu kohen gadol, because she married a kohen gadol. Mi chashina l'dishmuel. Okay, what's the question? If she's pregnant, she's obviously not a virgin. So what is the question that she can marry the kohen gadol? So what Mara says, because maybe we worry about Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? Damar Shmuel, yachol ani livol kama bi'ilot v'lo dam. Shmuel says that I can have intercourse with a woman, and she would still remain a bitula afterwards. We're going to get to this in the Gemara Ketubot, and the Gemara discusses this, that there's a possibility that one can have intercourse and not change the woman from being a virgin. It's called hataya. That's what the Gemara calls it over there. Again, we'll discuss it in more detail when we're in the Gemara Ketubot. So there the Gemara says that Rov Bnei Adam Yodea Hataya. So then Tosafot over here asks, what's so unique about Shmuel then? Must be that Shmuel also knew how to do it. The Gemara Biyah. He knew how to impregnate a woman and have her remain a virgin. Or maybe this skill of Shmuel was not common, and therefore we can assume that if she's pregnant, she's certainly not a betula anymore. He says, Shmuel's thing is not common. It's very uncommon that someone can have intercourse and the woman would remain a virgin and become impregnated. But we do worry about is the fact that she became impregnated in a bath. So this Gemara has big implications, and the Gemara Nida discusses it. And over there, it's a central part of the sugya of artificial insemination, which is over here. The Gemara worries about the fact that a woman went to a bath, and she was impregnated from the semen that was floating around in the bath. The possibility that she became impregnated not because she had intercourse, but simply because she came into contact with the semen. Farmer Shmuel, it happens to be a different din of Shmuel that he is upholding here, calls shichvat zera sheinu yorek chetz einu mazrat, that any shichvat zera that does not eject like that of a shooting arrow, that does not impregnate. So Shmuel says, no, problem is not that in order to impregnate the woman, it has to become into her like an arrow, but rather, that is a sign of the viability of the shichvat zera, is if it is taken out or comes out like yorek chetz. It shoots out like an arrow. So if the emission of the semen was in a way that's normally done, that it shot out, then that is good and viable semen. And since it's good and viable semen, it can impregnate even though it didn't enter the woman that way. That's a sign of the viability of the semen. It's not the signature of how a woman becomes impregnated. And therefore, you could have such a condition over here, which is that mikara nami yorek chetz ava. Whoever this man was who deposited his semen in the bath, he had the emission in a way that was yorek chetz, which means that it was viable semen. And then this woman who entered the bath afterwards became impregnated because she came into contact with that semen. So the answer is that she could be impregnated and still be a betula, not because of the problem of hataya, but because of the problem of this quote-unquote artificial insemination where she became impregnated, becoming into contact with the semen, but not having intercourse with an individual. So the answer would be that technically she could be a betula in this case. Now what exactly the case is, Rashi over here suggests the case is that he married the woman and then he finds out that she's pregnant. After the Kohen Gadol marries the woman, what's the din then? Is she considered to be a betula or not? And she claims that she is a betula. Is she nemenet? Is she believed? Or by the fact that the virtue of the fact that she's pregnant, she can't be believed, and we don't listen to her. That's one way to do it that Tosafot brings from Rashi. The Ri doesn't like that. So Tosafot says that he doesn't like Rashi's explanation, not about whether she's believed or not, but whether we make the efforts to test her. The Gemara gives us in other places ways to test whether a woman is really a betula or not. Not really effective tests, but they have their tests that they do. And therefore, is it worth doing the test? Is it even plausible that she is a betula over here? So Rashi says it's a question of she's neman. Is she believed? Whereas Tosafot says it's a question of whether we go through the trouble of testing her, because objectively, is it possible? So therefore, is it worth going through the trouble of testing her? So that's the question over here, the different ways that we learn it. So here, the Gemara clearly acknowledges that a woman can be a betula and become impregnated. But the Gemara also has a position here that when she is a betula and becomes impregnated, that impregnation still has to come from man. And that either it's because the din of Hatayai Bashmuel, that it was someone who knows to have bi'ah intercourse without causing the betulot to be ruined, or it's because she became impregnated from the shichvat zera that was floating around in the bath. So Chazal still acknowledge that even though the woman could be a betula and be pregnant, that impregnation can only take place because of a man-made or a contribution of a man in order to impregnate that woman. Anyway, that's the end of those questions that were asked or posed to Ben Zoma. Again, we see that he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And despite the fact that he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he had trouble when he entered into the Pardes. Again, a warning or somewhat of a zirut that one has to have when you enter into these areas that are of the more mystical and spiritual nature, that it's not always so safe, it's not always so easy, because here you see the tremendous Talmid Chachamim getting involved and still having problems. Only one out of four actually came out unscathed and okay from that. In addition to that, this is also, again, as I mentioned before, from the Gemara Nida, the source for those things that deal with artificial insemination, the possibilities of artificial insemination, and whether it's considered to be okay, and then what the results of that, what's the meaning of the results of that. Okay, we're going to stop over here, six lines down on 10th Bava Medav.